This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
This morning when we started, I touched upon briefly a very important perspective on our training, just a reminder, as all talks are, they're all reminders, various features and perspectives of our training, about the nature of awareness and the nature of stillness and what they really are. I mean, they are one, and it's not something to be, it's something to reflect upon, because it's almost like just a sort of a part of the package, something that maybe has no more value than other aspects of our makeup, of our consciousness, of our various sensory faculties that we have, plus our thoughts, plus our thinking mind, and awareness and stuff. So, and stillness. Somehow we just see it as all as a bundle of things of similar value. And that, I think, is a very unskillful way of viewing. We have a lot of stuff going on, and it's very complicated and very confusing. We go this way and we go that way. And like I say, we sort of tend to see it all as a part of this sort of mishmash that we consider ourselves to be. But for us people, it's very important never to wander away from the faculty, if you like, the faculty of awareness. For us, it's the be-all and the end-all, because we don't do conceptual things. We don't go off on tangents with different types of meditations or different sorts of focuses or different sorts of developments, which Buddhism has numerous on offer, and different traditions have their own little bundles that define them, that separate them from other traditions, with the hope that they all eventually come to the same place, which they do, actually. The traditional ones that were tried and tested down the centuries, they all work, they're all authentic. And so, as I say, there's lots of And traditions are very often defined by these different perspectives and these different sorts of meditations, many different things, and it gives them their definition, their identity. And it's all this, you know, it's a big menu. There's lots of things. It's like going into a supermarket and having lots of different things that you can buy, lots of different things that you can focus on. I'll do this and then I'll go into this one and this one and this one, which can very often buy into the restless mind and the impatience that we have for progress and enlightenment and all the rest of it. So we can hop around, which is just really reinforcing the very thing that we're meant to be letting go of, as it happens, but that's another, we'll leave that one. But for us, we don't concern ourselves with that menu. It's like a drop down menu on your computer, and you have all these options. We don't have a drop down menu. we just have one focus, one aspect of that package, if you like, that's at the heart of our training. That is our our vehicle, our vessel, if you like, that we alight ourselves on, that we bring ourselves to, that we give ourselves to, and we resist the temptation of going round the supermarket because, well, I'm getting just out of interest or whatever. We don't do that. We stay on the very heart of who we are, the very centre of our being, actually, which is our, we call awareness, is what, where we emanate from. It's at the very centre of who we are, and we as this type of training, as defines this type of training, that gives us its characteristics, its definition. It's like we put blinkers on, and we just concern ourselves with this aspect of ourselves, this thing called awareness, and wake up to awareness rather than sort of use it to access other parts and do other things. We don't use it to access other tools, as it were. We just bring our attention to our awareness and allow that to mature, and allow that, if you like to get to the bottom of it, if you like, to awaken to the nature of awareness. And in order to do that, we have to give it attention. It's not just going to reveal itself because it does. We have to give ourselves, we have to be careful not to lose ourselves in all the other things that we can be doing within this so-called path, that we just give our attention. It's at the very heart. It's at the heart of our mandala of practice is awareness, and to get to understand it, and to get to see its nature, what this part of us that we've never given attention to in our lives, certainly not before we come to training. We've never thought of it. It's just like, oh, this is me. This is a part of me. And it never goes beyond that sort of, that veneer. But now we're really, really, really opening up to this aspect of ourselves called awareness. Let's get to the bottom of this awareness. Let's really discover what this thing, this aspect of myself called awareness, what it's about. And so we return to our awareness continually, and we soon discover that to be with our awareness is incredibly difficult. In fact, it's the most difficult thing that we can do. Is that in order to discover our awareness, of course, we have to let go of our busyness, of our engaging with our thoughts and chasing our thoughts. Primarily, identifying with our thoughts and being, and of course, when we do that, we've lost our awareness, haven't we? We've gone into this world that we identify with, that we create and identify with, that gives me that this is me, this is mine, this is who I am. I wonder how many of us actually, when we find awareness, say, well, this is who I really am. Not this profusion, but this stillness that you discover that awareness is. This is really me. I wonder how often we define ourselves as that thing called, that aspect of ourselves called awareness. I very much doubt whether we do, because in awareness, when you're in awareness, there isn't any person. There is no personality. There is no me. So it's like it's sort of there, but it's also incredibly boring. Nothing there. But all this other stuff is very interesting, and this is what identifies me, who I am. And so we lose ourselves continually. But to get to know ourselves, to become free, to be liberated, whatever brings you to this business, the change, your liberation, things are going to change. from that centre. Real change, proper change. Not moving the furniture around as we spend our life doing, trying to find fulfilment. So we spend our lives in the world, as I like to describe it, as moving the furniture around. I'm not happy with this, so I'll move it around a bit and be a bit happy, and then that goes, and then I have to move it again. So we spend our whole life, as I say, moving the furniture around. But in that place of that thing called awareness, there isn't any furniture. But that place called awareness is where you are going to get to know yourself. It's the centre, at the heart of who you are. It's right at the centre, and from there the world sort of emanates, if you like, comes into creation. And when that comes into creation, you lose this, it gets lost, it gets covered over. But it's that part there where change takes place. It's that centre that we have to be very aware of, that this training is about becoming aware, is about returning to awareness. Whatever you do from that point, and this is where other features of training may come in, that's your first base. That's what has to be in place. Because until you put that in place, you're going to be lost in your habits, lost in your world that you create. And when you're lost in the world, there is no change. You can move the furniture around, but that's what it is. You're not actually getting rid of the furniture. You're not becoming free of these things. You're just substituting one situation for another in this endless quest for peace, for freedom, for happiness, whatever you want to call it, for liberation. We spend our whole time moving the furniture around. But for us Dharma practitioners, that part of us called awareness is the jewel, is the heart of where things change. So therefore, for us, that's what we should be alive to. It's about coming into that awareness. And coming to awareness means about being present. It's not a thing, it's not another object like all the other objects that are in your mind. When we become aware, we become present. We're here, we're alive, we're bright. Oh, I'm here. And then, as we all know, that if we do have that experience soon enough, things kick in and we get lost in the world. And we're no longer present. We're lost in this mental creation. And when we get lost in that creation, we're in the past. This is where the past exists. This is where the future exists. But when we can come into that part of us that is a part of us, that is not a creation, that is actually who we are, then we're present. We're here. We're not in the past, we're not in the future. We're here. We're in this present moment, if that's what you want to call it. And from there you can wake up to yourself, wake up to this dream, to this thing that we create. And when you wake up to it, you can let it go, because you begin to see what it is. And if you don't wake up to it, then you're always playing, you're always a victim, you're always just reinforcing, as we know. And it's that place of awareness where things change. Has the potential for change, not a guarantee, but has the potential for change. So therefore it is number one for us. It's not number two, it's not a compromise in any way. It's number one. So that's our aspiration, is to come into that. And that's fairly obvious when we're on the cushion, when we're sitting and we're meditating. We are by coming more into our awareness, by waking up that we are meditating, that I'm here to meditate, and I'm here to be still, and I'm here to be alive and to be aware. And you can sort of retain that you call it a thought, if you like. It then allows you that when the distractions come into you to take you away from that, you can let them go. You catch yourself and you can let them go, and you come back into that, so that you become present. And when you're present, you're in that environment where you can begin to wake up to yourself. And when you begin to wake up to yourself, that's where the potential for change can take place. But of course, you know, we may touch that on the cushion, but we also need, it's not good enough to just do it on the cushion. We have to bring it into our life, into our daily life. And that, of course, is a much bigger challenge that we may be able to touch, be alive to this moment, to this experience when we're on the cushion, but to be alive when we're in our daily life, in our comings and goings, in our interreaction. That's our big challenge, isn't it? Because we get caught by the situation, whether it's desire or aversion, or just the challenges of existing, of interreacting, that we get lost in those things, and we're not aware. We've lost that thing called awareness. We are just following our habits, whatever they may be. And that's the challenge for us, is to catch ourselves and to come into awareness and then live out of that awareness into whatever the situation is that we find ourselves in, so that we're with ourselves, but we're also engaging, we're also aware of the thing that we're doing. And in that place there, we can then begin to learn to not fall into our habits of being carried away. In the same way that we can do on the cushion. We can, no, come back to the stillness. No, come back to the awareness. Is that when we're in our daily life, also to be able to catch ourselves and come back and to know that you're here and you're engaging, you're interreacting, whether it be a person or a situation, whatever it may be, rather than being carried away by it and then just reinforcing all the habits that we've put in place, we can catch ourselves and say no, because we know that that's just reinforcing that we're losing ourselves, and we're losing that sense of awareness that's so precious to us. And so we learn, we can, no, I'm not gonna fall into that habit, whether it's desire or aversion or whatever it may be, in our where we just reinforce the thing, and then we just lose any sense of being present, and we just keep the whole thing turning over. If we can bring some awareness into our daily life, that gives us the ability to be aware of the situation, and then we can slowly become the master of the situation. Not master in the sense of force, but the master in the sense that you don't get carried away that you've done in the past, and then you learn to contain the outflows that are associated with those experiences. So you're not reinforcing, you're not creating karma, you're not playing the game, you're not just turning the wheel that just goes around and round that you reinforce. And it all comes back to awareness. If you're aware, you can say no, be alive to yourself. No, I'm not doing that. Or at least be alive to yourself and see what you do to yourself and see how you do perpetuate things. And if you can become alive to that, how you do perpetuate things, how you do keep falling into your habits, how you do keep reinforcing these things that you've been carrying for so long, the more that you can see those things, in time, you can begin to say no to them. You can begin to declutch from them. you can learn to say, and that all comes back to awareness. And if you don't have awareness, it won't happen. You'll just be the victim of your condition, of your conditioning, and you just reinforce it. And it will never end. And you will never find peace. And all the things that you aspire to, you'll just be continually enslaved to these habits. But with awareness, you can begin to, as it were, turn the ship around. That's it. That's the key, is awareness. Awareness, awareness. And for us, you can employ all sorts of things that encourages awareness, but for us, we just go straight to awareness itself. We don't have any props around it. We just come to awareness, and when you come to that awareness, you are really in the present moment. You are really doing it. You're not lost in some dualistic sort of manipulating thing that you're also engaging with. We are just absolutely with this. As I like to say, you're tasting the ice cream. Whether you enjoy the ice cream or not is something else, but you're doing it. There's no conceptuality around it. You're actually alive. And this is what awareness will do, will bring you aliveness to the situation. So you become intimate with it, so you're at one with it. There's no space, there's no manipulation, there's no... You're facing right into it and experiencing it as it is. And that's our training. We do it sort of head on, as it were. We don't back off and stick something in the way so that we're not quite there. We're almost there, but we're not quite there. And it's all coming back again to this awareness, awareness, awareness. And we need to remind ourselves of that. Because we get lost in the world, we get lost in the profusion that even Buddhism can offer. Buddhism can be a great Mara. It's the most wonderful set of tools that we can use, but also if we don't get it right, we can become even more entrenched within ourselves if we don't get it right. And that is a very, very big pitfall that clearly a lot of us actually fall into. And we must be careful not to buy into that, but that it is a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. And the end, if you like, if there is an end to this, it's awareness. Because in awareness, there is no Buddhism. There isn't anything in awareness. It is pure and free in its openness in the present moment. That doesn't belong to anybody. It doesn't belong to you. It certainly doesn't belong to any isms or any conceptual this, that and the other. It actually doesn't even belong to you as a person. There's your liberation. Nowhere else. Don't be deceived by the temptations of the allure of all these things that you can... that are far more interesting and also a lot, very often a lot easier and a lot less threatening, because you can always keep that little space and feel safe behind it. We strip away all of these things and we just impact. It's called the present moment. It's where you really are. And always have been, and always will be. And so we wake up to this moment. That's awareness. That's what awareness is. None of your other faculties will do that. All your hearing, your seeing, your thoughts, all the other things that you think awareness is a part of, well, awareness is another one of the... Well, it's not one of the skandhas, but somehow it's all part of the package that makes me up. None of those things will give you the experience of the here and now. Only one of your faculties will do that, and that's awareness. And it's the one real faculty that we've got. All the rest of your makeup is a creation, is manufactured. that we buy into, that we lose ourselves into, that somehow we think by using that we're gonna break free of the thing of it, in the same way that's akin to trying to pick yourself up off the ground by pulling on your bootlaces. If you think you're going to get your liberation with the rest of your makeup, there's only one part of your makeup that's real, that's gonna be the instigator of change, liberation. Call it what you like. There's only one part of you that's going to be authentic. This can deceive you, and by golly, can it deceive us? And many of us buy into that. One part of you that's not a part of that creation, and that's your awareness. So it has to be the most important feature of who you are, and of getting to know yourself, of waking up to yourself, of realizing and seeing all the bits and pieces that go to make this, that you put together, that you then consider as being me, I, the person, the persona, the self, the ego, and my awareness is a part of my ego. It's another one. It's in one of the boxes with all the others. It is not. It's so easy to lose that. It's so easy for that part of you to be appropriated by your, that part of you that's deluded, called the self. So I am this awareness. Awareness is a part of me. Well, that's what we have to wake up to. It's almost like tearing it away from the rest of who you are. And then giving your attention to it. Discovering why you cannot be aware moment by moment. Why can't I just be aware? Because I know, because when I touch it, when I'm on the cushion and I'm aware, it's a fantastic place. It's so peaceful, and it's so, and unlike all the other bits of me, that like these things. And you look at this thing called awareness. The more you look at this thing called awareness, the more you realise that actually it's not a thing at all. Is it a thing? Well, things have definitions. They're a certain size. Objects have a certain. It doesn't matter if it's a big one or a small one. Everything has a size and has characteristics. Maybe it's got a colour. It's got a weight. It's got characteristics in some way that define. That's a thing. There it is. That's a thing. And you can do that with all bits of you, all your thing. You can sort of put it in boxes if you like. But when you come to awareness, just ponder awareness and see, well, what box can I? And actually, the paradox of that, of course, if you don't realise, is actually awareness is looking at itself. As it happens, and you see that actually there isn't anything else other than awareness, and yet awareness that I've never given a moment's attention to in my life, I just take it as part of who I am. Look at it. How big is it? Where does it? If I'm really still, and I don't lose myself, I don't get caught by my thoughts and my habits. If I'm really still. Where's its parameters? How wide is it? Where does it end? Has it got any weight? What does it look like? What is its appearance? All of these things. Reflect on that and see that actually awareness is not a part of all this other stuff. And then if you can make that leap, actually, and that is a big leap, because it's me, it's mine. Well, if it's me, it's mine, then where is it? If I own it, you know, that begins to totally undercut all those assumptions, because you can do it with your thoughts. Thoughts are very easy to put them in boxes. That's very much a me and mine thing. and your experience, your sight and your smell and hearing and all of that, you can easily reduce them into objects that then gives you an identity. You do that with awareness. Because it's just one of your bits, isn't it? Well, okay, then never mind about giving your attention to sound and playing with that and understanding that. Just isolate, as it were, your awareness and have a look to see how you get on with that, if it's a part of this. And if you could then realise more, well, hopefully you will realise, well, hang on, there's something going on here. I've missed something here. There's this thing that, well, it's not a thing. I'm beginning to realise more and more it's not a thing at all. That's actually very boring, because it's not a thing. Things are interesting. When there isn't anything there at all, it has to be boring. Because there isn't anything to show any interest in. But actually, once you can take yourself beyond that threshold, that, well, it's very boring, therefore I'm not going to bother with this anymore. I'd much rather look at something else, because that's very, very interesting, because there's all sorts of ponderings around that. If you can take yourself beyond that sort of that threshold of boredom, because you can't grasp it, because you can't put it in a box, give yourself more to it, open up to it, sit on the cushion, return to your awareness. And the way you're going to know more about awareness is that you have to let go. So you stay with awareness. And in that stillness, well, awareness actually is stillness. You discover awareness. We got this thing called awareness. Yeah, I know awareness, and I got stillness here. And I make stillness. If I do X, Y, Z, I will create this thing called stillness. Yeah? How many meditations promise you that? You're going to make stillness. Well, there's one delusion. There's one piece of nonsense that you can break through. That you actually realise that you don't create stillness. It's not a creation. You can't. How on earth can you create stillness, if you think about it? It's nonsense, because stillness, again, is not an object. Is it? It's not a thing. And discover that awareness and stillness are not separate. It's that when you're aware, actually they're two words for the same experience. It's that actually that stillness is actually there all of the time. When you let go of your thoughts and your agitation and restlessness, and you let all of that go, there is that part of you that gets revealed. It becomes more and more obvious to you. This thing called stillness actually isn't something that you create. Is what you discover. Discovering is not creating. When you discover something, the word discovery means that you discover something that's already there. You discover it. You don't create it. You don't make it. You don't fashion it, manipulate it in any way whatsoever. You discover it. It's there. And it's been there all the time, but you've never seen it. Awareness, a stillness. Is this me? Is this a part of me? Is this who I am? Is this what defines me? Is this one of my possessions? Well, for us, this is the journey. This is very much the heart of the mandala of this, what we call practice, is that we don't play around with conceptual dualistic things that, if used correctly, will take us exactly to that realization. But if we don't get it right, we get lost in the world of duality. And we take everything as things. We take everything as our objects. But we're now beginning to, because we don't use those things, we come to our awareness and see that our awareness is not an object at all. And if it's not an object, how can it be a part of duality? Duality means two. A and B, one and two. Good and bad, right, wrong. and on it goes, light and dark. It takes two, there's a duality. One can only exist, support the other. And yet our awareness that we've never even not come on the radar, because it's not interesting. It's not come on the radar. We now discover that actually there's a part of us that's not a part of duality, for goodness sake. And yet we know that, and yet we know that duality is at the basis of our suffering. That duality gives us a sense of separation. We feel separate from life. We feel this is where loneliness comes from. We all experience loneliness as the human condition, because we feel separate. I'm here, the world is there, and I'm feeling lonely, and I'm feeling threatened, and I have to look after myself. I'm here. So, by golly, we exist in duality big time. Whether you see those terms, that concept, you just take it for granted. I'm here, and there's somebody over there. That duality. And yet, when you look at the very that heart of who you are, you're beginning to discover the heart of who you are. How can you say that's a part of duality? Because it's not an object. There isn't. It's not in relation to another thing that gives it the definition of being a part of duality. So you're living in duality, and all the consequences of living in duality, which is that we suffer. We're lonely, and yet there's a part of you that's not—it's not a part of that duality. And you know, it's not interesting. Yeah. And hopefully, you realise, well, if I can be more aware, come to awareness, take refuge in awareness, take refuge, go there for my refuge, away from the dualistic world that I'm so familiar with. Just is what I would just give anything to get away from. Begin to discover that part of you that's not a part of that dualism. Take refuge. To me, this is what taking refuge means. To me, the true meaning of going for refuge or taking refuge is not a dualistic activity, an action. It's taking refuge in that part of you that's not part of duality. There's the Buddha. There's the truth. And that thing that part of you that was so boring that you've never even been on your radar. It's so boring because it's not a thing. There's nothing there for you, as it were. There's nothing to get. Nothing to discover. Now you're beginning to discover, because you are beginning to wake up to that part of you that has more to offer than you first thought. Than actually, this is my place. This is my place of liberation. This part of me is my place of liberation. Not this seductive dualistic thing, but this part of me that I'm now beginning to discover is not a part of that. Is where I'm going to surrender my loneliness. Where I'm not going to feel separate anymore. Where I'm not going to be in that mode, perpetual mode of fear. That you're not in that created world, and that created world that you create, that you identify with, that you become absolutely part of, is that world of life and death. And now you're discovering a part of you that's not a part of that. So does that mean that this is not a part of life and death also? Well, hang on. If it is, then it has to be a part of the dualistic world. But I'm discovering that actually it's not a part of the dualistic world. So is there a part of me that actually doesn't die? There's not a part of this fear, loneliness, separation. That if it really isn't, I mean, this is only theory, but if it really isn't a part of that coming to be and ceasing to be, this cycle of things, impermanence. Is this part of me actually beyond life and death? Is it not impermanent, but is it actually permanent? Because for it to be impermanent, it has to be an object, a thing that dies and changes into something else, one object into another. This thing that's not been on your radar, that you've not, you've been lost in, like if you're Buddhist, you can be lost in all these wonderful things that that offers you, that you, and somehow you marginalise, or where you need it to give you the stillness and stuff, but it's like it's used as an object in order that you can concentrate more, gives you concentration, that you can concentrate in all these different techniques and methods that you do. But it's like something that you use, and then you, it's not at the heart of what you're doing. This is the heart. This is a means to an end. And so it's like you don't realize actually its full meaning, what it really is, because you're lost in these other things, the profusion, which is so alluring. But if you can not go there, but just stay with this part of you that you've not given attention to before, not been encouraged to do actually, as a means to an end, but then you dump it for something else. Now we don't dump it for something else. It is the something else. It is what it is, and nothing beyond that. Open up to that. Open up to your awareness. Take refuge there. Open up. Investigate, if you like. Just this thing that was boring, it isn't a thing. What is it about? What's the implications of discovering this part of me that's not a part of this? What is... Go on that journey into it's just a mystery. If it's not an object, it has to be a mystery. What else can you say it is? Because a mystery means it's something you don't understand. If you understand, it's not a mystery. But how can you understand something that's not a thing? You can't grasp it. You can't... But go into it, open up to it, open up to that thing that you can't grasp, that part of you that you can't put in a box, that was once boring, now becomes something that can completely captivate you, because you begin to realise that it doesn't have a limit, and yet it's me. This is not an objective exercise of something over there. You're actually opening up to you, to who you really are. So it's not over there. It's absolutely as intimate and as personal as it's... Well, you can't go beyond it. You really are coming into who you are and beginning to discover a part of you that's not a part of this madness, part of this fear, part of this loneliness, this thing that's... spends his entire existence with the thought that it's going to die and not be, and spend that conditions the whole of your life, not just a thought, but something that absolutely leaves its mark on the whole of your existence, because you know you're going to die, and then what's going to happen to you? And yet now you're, hang on, what's this other part of me that I've never given attention to before? Is that a part of this? Surely it's got to be. Your conditioning will absolutely demand that it is. But when you come to that stillness, you're not buying into your conditioning. You're suspending it. You're not being deceived by it. By being still, you'll begin to discover something else going on here. There's your liberation. And it's not out there, it's not here, it's not in all this profusion. It's just in stillness. Trust it. You have to trust it, because when there is no person there, and when there's no person there, that can bring huge amounts of fear, because you want to be in control. That thing that wants to be in control. So, I can't go into aware. I can't go into stillness. Stillness frightens me. I must stay busy to feel safe. You have to get over that one. That's another line you've got to cross. Not once, but many, many lines of surrendering your desire to be in control, your neurosis to be an absolutely neurotic desire to be in control of your life and everything and everyone as much as you can in it so that you feel safe. Those things you have to give up one by one in order to wake up to that part of you, to discover that part of you that's not a part of this. That's the challenge. This is not a lovely little exercise. This is as personal as it gets. This is what hits on who you think you are. And it requires you to have the courage to let go. And the more you let go, the more you will wake up to that part of you that's not a part of this madness, part of this fear, part of this life and death delusion. That part of you that's eternally free. It's not a thing. And here you are. You are it. It's not over there. It's who you are. But that journey of discovery requires that so that you can become more and more into your awareness, so that it's more present, so that it's with you, it's never far away from you, means that you have to let go of your desire to control. You have to learn to open and say yes and just give that up. That's the challenge that we've got. But if you can accept that challenge and do your best, it's like a layering, it's like a layer upon layer. This isn't a one-off. We can't possibly do it as a one step, as it were. Layer by layer, we can let go of the things that we hold on to. And when we let go, we will discover that part of us. It will reveal that part of us that is not a part of this. We call it awareness. It's the blue sky. We have a blue sky. That's the blue sky. That's how you really are. But we've created these clouds. And for us, all we're interested in is the blue sky. And that means that we are already absolutely in contact with it. A blue sky is not an objective. It's who you are. You are the blue sky. This is not an object, dualistic process, exercise. This is not dualism at all. This is beyond dualism. This is what ejects Buddhism. Ejects it. So that you're not caught with anything at all, but you're discovering a part of you that's not a thing, that's not anything at all. And the more that you can let go of these, and letting go is not just, oh, I'm going to let go. Letting go means that you are giving up who you are, and you're giving up your defences, this sense of self, this thing that's in this perpetual state of anxiety, always shoring itself up continually with life's activities. So it's looking at those are the dark, those are the clouds. But behind the clouds, that sky there, nobody's created that sky. Look at that sky, there's absolutely nothing in it at all. Do you think that's been created? We've had weeks of darkness, we haven't seen the sun for weeks. Do you think that sky is just suddenly manufactured? Huh? That sky has been there all of the time, untouched by the clouds. Perfect metaphor. Untouched by the clouds, been there. But now the clouds are blown away. Oh, look. But it's been there all the time. Our blue sky nature. To us, we just give ourselves to that aspiration. We come to the cushion, we don't have methods and techniques other than just learning to settle ourselves, and then we come to our awareness. and we return to our awareness. And every time we wander off, we come back to our awareness. And we wander off, we come back to our awareness, so that we become more and more familiar with awareness. And when we know, that's good enough. It's not what's next. Of course what's next, because it's boring. There isn't anything there. I want something to do. I want to achieve something. You've got to let all that go, because there ain't anything to achieve. This is about letting go and discovering. Not creating, but discovering that part of us that we've never given much or any attention to before. But now it's the jewel, it's the heart, it's our aspiration, it's our focus. And our focus means that our awareness, which is ever present, like the blue sky, it is there. We may lose it, but that doesn't mean to say that it's not there, or we've done this master over. It's there permanently waiting. So that means that we always have the opportunity to come back into awareness, to discover that blue sky, to discover that stillness. We don't have to create anything. What we do is we let go. We let go of something. We come back. We go off. We come back. We go off. We come back. We come back. We come back. And not create anything, but just wake up to what's already there. And that's our training. And we do it on the cushion, which is very obvious. We let go. But then we have it in our daily life also. But of course, our daily life is a lot more complicated. We get caught by the activity of life and the distractions and all the challenges. But it's the same principle. It's to come back. Your awareness is there. In the busiest thing that you engage with, in the most important thing, the thing that consumes you more than anything, that's really, really important to you for all sorts of reasons, your blue sky's there. There. Your awareness is there. Your awareness is never touched, never affected in any way by what you do, by your condition, whether you're feeling good, whether you're feeling bad, whether you're in fear, whatever mental state you're in at this moment, and all the ups and downs of life that we get, there's a part of you that's just still and never ever touched, ever touched. And it's there to be accessed in the midst of your turmoil. It's there because you don't make it. You just wake it. You just come. And when you come back, if only temporarily you've let go, or at least you've let go of a great deal of that thing that's grasping, that's holding you, or what you're holding on to, you find that part there that never attaches. That never gets caught, that never gets lost, never gets bound in any way whatsoever. It's never touched in the midst of all your turmoil. It is never ever touched and is waiting for you. If you can just catch yourself, you will find it. In the midst of your madness, you will find it. There's your refuge. Come back over and over and over and over. And when you come back, you are beginning to loosen up this grasping that we have, this massive, massive attachment to our self-identity, to our conditioning, to our self-identity. You'll come into that part of you that's not a part of the conditioning. And the more you can come back, the more you can take refuge there, the less you will be caught up, and you will become freer and freer, because that part of you is totally free. That's where freedom is, that's where liberation is. The more you come there, you will discover the spaciousness that who you really are. There is your refuge. And we need to be continually reminding ourselves of that, because we get carried off by this, that and the other, whether it's Dharma practice or whether it's the world. and you would go off and we'd get lost. And when you get lost, you will never be free. You will have that, always have that sense of dukkha, that sense of unsatisfactoriness, because that's the nature of the thing that we buy into. And it will never be anything else. But there's a part of you that is free of dukkha, that is not impermanent. And it's the true self, the real you. And that real you is permanent. And we go on that journey by learning to be still. That's the nature of this training. It's so you cannot find the words to go beyond simplicity. Use the word, it is so simple because it's already here. Come back to it. How simple is that? Let go and come back into that stillness. How uncomplicated is that? There's not a whole package of profound teachings around that. It's just in the here and now. No future, no past, no birth, no death. Just who you really are, the true self. Reflect on that. And I think one of the major challenges, I think the major challenge actually with this type of training, is that we're always being seduced into doing something. Some other type of practice, something else. Anything to be busy, anything to give us a sense of doing, a sense of achieving. Because this, in that regard, in the dualistic regard, it is very boring. There isn't, it's boring because you're not opening up to it. It's the most unboring training you could possibly imagine, actually. But it requires you to cross that threshold and not be seduced into doing something, into finding a way that's interesting, that you feel you're achieving, you're going somewhere. You have to sort of cross that threshold, come into that, wake up to that part of you. And I can assure you, there is nothing boring about it.